Hi, everybody. My name is Mark. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hey, Mark.
I've done this work with the help of the Big Book Step Study sponsor, and the loving God made my amends in doing my best to live in steps 10, 11, 12 on a daily basis. It was a pleasure to be asked to do this today. It was without prep, so my prayer today is that I'll have something that will be of help to other people. And I can share with you some of the things I've been thinking about in the way this work has developed in my thinking since I completed the work. I keep getting stuck at that first word of how it works. Rarely have we seen a person fail. And I know they argued quite a bit about whether to use that word. They didn't want to use an absolute because there are no absolutes, that there are no guarantees. And when we did this work, we went through and wrote the warnings. We marked everything up to say that there are promises, there are warnings, there are instructions, but there are no guarantees, right? And perfection is, I've already conceded that that's out of my realm. So, and I didn't attempt this work just out of the a big plan. Someone from my regular OA meeting said, you know, it sounds like you could use this other kind of meeting. And I just said, okay. And he said, by the way, it's not OA. So sometimes my innocent saying yes was enough to get me into the process that I didn't really beat myself up over it. I didn't double guess it. I didn't say, well, let me sit in on these meetings for a great big period of time and decide if I want to start or not. It's just like, it's in front of me, I'll do it. Sometimes we get what we need in this life without having to really struggle or sacrifice for it. It says, rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. So the implication is that if you don't succeed, you haven't done it thoroughly enough. And I have seen people in this program go back and start again. People have had problems. And we try to forestall that by reading 83 to 88. So, and living in 10, 11, and 12. But again, there are no guarantees. But if we keep coming back to the principles of the thing, maybe it'll only be medium rare. So, I don't want to think that I'm incapable of grasping and developing a manner of living which demands rigorous honesty. I know that I have thought being honest with myself at times, and that's probably why down the road we need someone to turn our fifth step over to. Making decisions by ourselves alone isn't enough. And this book was written for a period of time when they were sending the book all over the world and there were no groups to go to. And it's, you should take this step with your spouse or minister, or, you know, find someone to take this step with. We do it a little more formally in this program, and it's tied to one part that I think is very important. When we get down on our knees and make that decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God, we also affirm our willingness to carry this message to other people, to do the work, to spread it to others. I have not had universal success in those I've sponsored. I've had people move away and disappear into the ozone. I've had people just stop coming to meetings, stop returning phone calls. And I pray for them. I can't control it, but helping other people do the work is how I maintain my sanity / sobriety / abstinence myself. I have a friend who works the program very hard, has not been through this process, and noticed in his writings of not too long ago that he is not abstinent. So I think that this method of doing the work is very important to maintaining progress in this realm. I don't insist on it. There are other people who do things other ways. This isn't the other thing. There was an article in major newspaper yesterday with someone who said, you know, AA is not the thing for women. So it's like, okay. It had, you know, feminist sort of slant. And it's like that the assumptions of, you know, white men who wrote this book in 1935, you know, are not universally applicable and whatever. But I haven't met her personally to see if there's a light in her eyes, to see if she has had the benefit of doing things her way. So all I know is this has worked for me and continues to yield rewards and new learnings. That third paragraph, at some of these we balked. There were times that I didn't keep up with my writing. There were times that things got painful and I shut down for a while. There's still, I wouldn't say that my 10th, 11th step is always the, you know, as thorough as it might be. You know, it's late at night, I'm tired, I got back from the dog walk and have to go into my activity. But I keep coming back to these things, to these principles for how I run my life. I don't balk the way I used to. It's not in the years and the, you know, decades anymore. It's now, okay, I'm aware that I need some fine-tuning, and I'm aware that the change needs to be made. I pray about it, but I'm more inclined to action now, because balking in this program and any other just leads to more pain. The stagnation leads to all the things that we tried to get rid of in the fourth step, the resentments, the fears, all of that. So who balks? Little kids, sometimes animals. I don't want to be in that group anymore. I want to be a grown-up. I want to make progress. I want to get to my goals. So this meeting, of course, comes after we've done steps two, part one, steps two, part two, about coming to believe that there's a power greater than myself out there that can, or depending on what you believe in here, or, you know, I'm not going to categorize and redo the thing on God talk and all that. But that decision is a different thing. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. It doesn't say turned our will over to God. We have to do some more work. There are all these other steps that we have to go through before we even really understand what that means. So I'm sure that for some of us, the decision was more powerful than others. I've heard some speakers say that it was just the way to go. They wanted to get into the work, and they're, you know, it's like, I decided because it sounded logical. So some people have had that spiritual awakening, others haven't. The earlier version of the book said spiritual experience, which relates to the, you know, chapter that we read at the end. But it's something that can grow. I've made a comment in here, I'm sure before, that the idea that there was something outside of myself meant that I wasn't the center of the universe anymore. So the actor that's talked about in this reading, and Bill ran out of words, you know, he had the producer and director in other places, so he had to say the actor. Normally it's not the actor who determines how things will go, and the sets and the lighting, and, you know, there are other words for that. But I was actually thinking about this the other day, because I've been listening to a Broadway channel on the radio. Our new car has, you know, one of these advanced systems, and listening to the Broadway channel and hearing things that's like, well, it's not that way in the movie. And it's not, and there was this re-release and a new production of it, and then there was, you know, an English production, and then there was it. And it's like different actors can play the roles in different ways, sound different things, say different things, sound differently, feel different. Their performances all vary. And somehow they come together to form a whole production. Well, I had to learn that I was just a tiny little cog, that I'm not, I can, any of us can play the role, maybe in a different way, but I have to believe that I can contribute. But now I'm a contributor and I'm not trying to manage the show, okay? It's, how can I be of help? Have I learned my lines? Do I know how things are supposed to go? Have I learned the choreography? And believe me, I'm a klutz. I'm not going to be the one learning the choreography. I've been in singing groups, and it's like when they get past clapping and swaying to the music, it's like, you know, leave me out of that. But am I ready to go on stage? So that's part back to the 10-11 part of it. Have I prayed and meditated? Am I ready to go on stage for the day? At the end of the day, how is my performance? Am I going to be? So we can do this in theatrical terms. It works. But I also understand the part that talks about how the actor can be gracious, can be demanding, can be, you know. And I've done all those things. Back to the baby image. What does a baby sound like when he or she isn't getting his or her way?
Wah!
Banging things, screaming, running around, being unpleasant. I don't want to be that unpleasant person. If I do this work, if I try to develop the relationships the way I'm given through this work, my life is seamless. I had a job that I worked not long after I got out of college, where there just seemed to be a lot of turmoil around me. And I realized, even back then, because I already knew about program, thank God, back then, I realized that I was the problem. Okay? And the actor in this description here is the problem. Trying to be good, trying to make things nice, trying to have things go seamlessly, but I couldn't control it. I just aroused all those things in other people, the resentments in other people that reflected back on me, the part I didn't understand till the turnarounds. Yes, I know I'm not supposed to go outside of step three today, but I didn't realize that I caused some of my misery. So I love this sentence. Is he not a victim of the delusion he can wrest satisfaction and happiness out of the world if only he manages well? If I do everything right, I'm going to get what I want. And what I want is the paramount thing. And I had to learn that what I want is not that important. Yes, I want my basic needs met. And when I read the newspaper, online or in the old-fashioned form, I look at how some other people live, how they have it, and I realize how lucky I am to have what I have. But I always wanted to do more, and I thought that if I did more, I would get more, and it's this endless struggle for satisfaction. That was not going to be for mine. So I was self-centered, egocentric. Now, this paragraph gets, on the bottom of 61, gets into things that have a lot more step four feel to them. So the retired businessman who lolls in Florida's sunshine in the winter, complaining about the sad state of the nation. First of all, I was much more of a complainer back then than I am now. I still have my moments. But that sad state of the nation, I didn't realize that in part in step four, when I was doing resentments, I was going to have to look at principles and institutions. That was a total eye-opener to this way of the work. I had been in OA for years and like never really got that, done other fourth step inventory. So it's not that I have blinders on, that I don't realize that a lot of the world is in sad state. Five people got stabbed yesterday trying to attend a Hanukkah celebration. So I'm aware of what goes on in the world, but it's not for me to bemoan it. It's for me to note it and say, what is it that I can do to make it better? I acknowledge it, I get on with it. If I can write a letter, if I can send a text, if I can pray for someone, whatever. But dwelling on it, I used to dwell in this stuff. This politicians, reformers, and believe it, I'm not going to talk politics today. Believe it, I am not going to go down that road. That would be problematic. But politicians, reformers who are sure all would be utopia if the rest of the world would only behave. Everyone has an idea what would make things better. And people don't always agree. There are some things I would like to see. I would like to see a little love enter the situation, a little balance, a little consideration of others, a lot of the sense of usefulness that we're supposed to engage in, thinking of others before ourselves and not being egocentric. I still see a lot of egos out there. I think our world needs our program. So selfishness, self-centeredness is the root of our troubles, and I think In a lot of ways, it's the root of the world's troubles. But I had to quit playing God. The book tells me I have to quit playing God. I have to quit managing my home relationships, not try to manipulate, not try to control it, try to live in harmony, not try to control or change my brother who has mental illness, to not try and change situations at the different organizations I belong to, to be of help as opposed to being in control. And who's going to take that role? In this it said God was going to be our director. Okay? Some people still have a problem with the God concept, and especially when we get into the thing, he is the father and we are his children, because a lot of people have stuff with their family past and whatever. It might not be the right role model. But there is a power outside of myself. So when I take that position, top of 63, it's going to make a bunch of promises to me. It says that remarkable things are going to follow. So that power provides what I need, even if I don't understand what that's supposed to be. You know, it's not a formal prayer in the big book. One of my big prayers is that God be able to show me things in a gentle way so I don't have to be hit upside the head with a 2x4. And it really is. I don't want to have to suffer. I pray for the ability to learn easily the lessons that I have to learn. Because I'm not a pain seeker. I know there are people who are into that, but that is not for me. So it says, established on such a footing, we became less and less interested in ourselves, our little plans and designs. I wish I could say that was totally true. It's not. I'm still plotting. I'm still thinking, you know, how can I improve? How can I think different? And there, I spent a considerable amount of time saying, God, what is your will for me? What do you want me to do? How do you want me to be useful? You know, I'm not sure exactly what my setting is. I know that I'm doing little things that are useful, but I can't seem to see the big plan. So I still want to know. I have that desire to know and understand and have God show me more. But the only way God's going to show me more is if I stay away from my addiction, if I practice my program, and I remember to keep reaching out to other people. So we have this prayer, which is the centerpiece of our thing, and I'm starting to go over. God, I offer myself to thee to build with me and do with me as thou wilt, not as I want. My opinion of things does not carry the way. I need to learn God's way of life and do God's will. And I hope I can continue to do that one day at a time for a long time, and I wish that for you as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark.